Thank you for listening today to our podcast here at Word of Life. We're delighted that you tuned in, and I pray that while you hear us talk, you hear the Holy Spirit speak. I know God's got a big plan for you. We're excited to be a part of that plan. Hopefully, we will see you sometime soon, maybe even this weekend. Until then, we pray you have a wonderful, wonderful week.
Thank you. Thank you. How's everybody doing tonight? Well, my name is Tyler Thompson, and I'm the Kids Life Pastor here at Word of Life Church, and it is an honor to be here with you tonight. Glad you're here. You guys look good. Give yourselves a hand. So this weekend, we've picked a value to talk about because here at Word of Life Church, we have several values, which are go, grow, partner, connect, and serve. And so the value that I'm going to be talking about tonight is connect. Everybody say connect. We're going to have some fun tonight. Everybody say connect. I like that. So the reason we have this value connect, and the reason we have values for anything is you determine the choices you make in your life by the values that you have. And so with the value connect, our heart is that we believe that we are better doing life together. Because not only that's not something we made up, that's what God has showed us in his word. And so I want to look at some scripture really quick in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 27. And so, I'm reading from the NASB, and so it says, "Now you are Christ's body and individually members of it." I'm going to go ahead and look at 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 18 as well. And it says, "But now God has placed the members, each one of them in the body, just as he desired." And so with that, what we're talking about when it comes to connect is that we believe that God has designed specific people for each of us to be connected to in order to walk out the plan that he has for our lives. And so the way that God refers to it in scripture is that we are the body of Christ. And I don't know about you, but I feel like my body works better if my hand is connected to my wrist, right? My hand works better if it's connected to my wrist, not only my wrist, but my arm and everything else. The body does better when it's connected. Now, when I think about connection, it takes me back to a trip I took as a youth. And see, I had the honor of actually coming up in the church and going to our youth group. And so when we were in the youth group, we would go on trips. And so one of the trips that we would take would be to a place called Twin Lakes. Anyone ever heard of Twin Lakes before? Okay, all right. So we're at Twin Lakes, and there's this camp where you can do all kinds of activities along with doing messages and things like that. And so one of the activities that was there was something called the High Ropes Course. And so up until this point, it had been optional. But because, you know, I guess they were just trying something new, the director during that time was like, you know what, it's not an option for anyone. We're all doing it. So you don't have a choice. And so from that point on, until it came time, all I could think about was this high ropes course. And if you've never heard of a high ropes course, what it is, and how many of you guys have ever heard of an obstacle course? You know, where you have like tires or a beam you have to walk across to balance. Well, it's like that, but it's up in the air. It's using ropes, and you have to have a harness to complete it. And so just at this point in time in my life, I was just not in a place where I was okay with heights. Anybody like heights in here? I need that anointing, all right? So at that time, I was terribly afraid of heights, but the choice was, there was no choice. You're going to have to do this high ropes course. So I'm not thinking about the messages. I'm not thinking about the songs. I'm just thinking about this high ropes course. And so we get out there, and to start the high ropes course, the director at the time had the bright idea that we needed to do the advanced. And I was like, I'm not advanced at all. I need like a beginner step ladder or something to start. And so to start the course, you had to climb a rope ladder. To start the course, you had to climb a 30-foot rope ladder. You know how many times I climbed a 30-foot rope ladder in my life? Never. So I wanted to show you a picture of what the rope ladder looked like, but when you see this picture, it's a little bit of false advertisement, yeah. So she's smiling, and she's got her harness on. She's got a helmet. I didn't look like that. I was, like, my helmet was shaking, and you know, I had my harness on, but I wasn't ready for this time. And so that's the rope ladder that we actually had to climb. So it was my turn, and before we went, we had youth leaders and some of the upperclassmen in the youth group actually go up ahead of us because you needed help getting from station to station because you had a harness because it was the high ropes course. So I get on this ladder, and I'm climbing, and you know, the rule of heights, if you don't like heights, is don't look Yes, you guys feel me. Don't look down. And so I'm climbing, and I finally get up to the first platform. And, you know, I was like, man, it looked bigger from the ground. But when I got up there, it was like, it was really small. It's probably just a little bit bigger than this table right here. And then, because it's up in the tree, it's not really sturdy. You're moving. So you could be grabbing onto the tree with all your life, but you're still swaying. So the first leader is there, and he's like, are you ready? I'm like, no. He's like, all right, go ahead and go. And so I get up to the first obstacle, and it's a balance beam. It's basically a telephone pole that is stretched across. And so instead of looking down and trying to focus, I look at the leader who's on the other side. And he's like, come on, you can do it. You got it. You can do it. Come on. I'm like, and I don't remember all the stuff he said because I was just dealing with the heights. But he's like, come on. And so I just had to focus my eye on him. So I got to that leader, and then we got to the next obstacle, and it was a different obstacle. It was like a obstacle where you had to pull yourself across. And we got to that one. By this time, like you would think by now, my nerves were calm. They weren't. It was like they just kept getting increased the further I got, because the course got higher as you went on. Now, you started off at 30 feet, but the highest part of this course was 60 feet. Like 60 feet between you and the earth that God created. Just 60 feet. So I get to the last platform, and one of our upperclassmen in the youth, he's at that platform. You know, he's all cool, and I'm trying to, you know, impress him and not look like a chicken in front of him. So he's like, man, you good? And so I try to give him my thumbs up, but my hand's shaking. And so he's like, come on, man, you got this. You can do it. And the last obstacle is a tightrope. It's a thin wire, but, you know, they want to help you out, so they give you a rope hanging down every few feet. And so while I was so nervous about this is because, you know, you had your harness. You're like, what did you have to worry about? Well, you had this harness. And even if you fail, though, you'd still be the guy that failed at the youth camp, and you were hanging from the harness, and they had to come and stop everything to help you. And I didn't want to be that guy, so I stepped out there onto that wire, and, you know, my legs are shaking. I look like I was dancing, but I wasn't. And so I just kind of slid my feet across. I kept going, and then I had to remember to let go of the first rope. So I'm like, let go, you know, and I have a leader on this side and a leader on this side trying to encourage me to tell me to go. And so then at one point, it was just like I was just taken over by fear. I was just scared. I was like, I can't do it. I'm weak. I don't know how I'm just going to exit this, but I need some help. And so one of the leaders at the very end of the course, he was like, Tyler, and I looked over, and I couldn't say yeah because I was so scared. He was like, come on, you got this. And so I started moving towards him. He's like, come on, you got this. And you know, just this courage welled up inside of me to just keep going a little bit further. And see, the funny thing is, I was about, you know, 15 feet away from him, but he reached out his hand like I was right there. And even though we were far apart, it still kind of helped me. Mentally, I was just right there to be able to grab his hand. So with him encouraging me, I promise you there was music in the background. He's like, come on, you can do it. Come on, you can do it. I finally make it to the other side, and I was so happy that the high ropes course was over. I said all that to say that had it not been for those people along the way, had it not been for the connections, not just the harness, but the people telling me, hey, you got this, you can do it, keep going, keep pushing. If it had not been for those connections, I would never have reached my destination. And here at Word of Life Church, we believe in, and what God's word shows us is that there are people that God has designed for you and I to be connected to, that until we connect to those people, until we get connected, we won't reach that destination and we won't see God's best in our life. So with that, connection isn't something that we just talk about. It's something that God designed, but it's also something that Jesus illustrated. When you're looking at the life of Jesus, how many of you know if you want to live the perfect life, you got to look at the life of Jesus? If you want to live the life that he wants you to live, you have to see and do the things that he did. And so with that, one of the things that Jesus did is he was connected. He was connected to 12 men that he did life with. Not only did he take time to be apart with God, but any other time you read about his life in the scripture, he's always with the 12. And it says he went up with the 12. He went down with the 12. He went left with the 12. He went right with the 12. He was with the 12. And so in his life, he didn't just pray. He didn't just teach the 12. He didn't just pray with the 12, but he did life with them. He laughed with them. He took the time to learn about them. He took the time to be a strength to them, but there were also times where he needed the 12 to be a strength to him as well. And so in our lives, because Jesus was connected, that shows us that you and I, we need connections. Because unless we have the right connections, our lives won't take the course that they're supposed to take. That our connections determine the course of our lives. There was a story that I was looking at by a man named Paul, and it's found in Acts chapter 9. And we're going to look at verse 26 through 28. You see, just to give you some background, you have Paul, and before Paul was Paul, his name was Saul. And so Saul had a reputation for going around and persecuting people who were believers. And so he has this experience with Jesus. Jesus appears to him on the road to Damascus, and he has this life-changing experience with Jesus. And when that happens, Paul sees that, you know what, okay, my life has changed. I need to get around some people. And so he thinks, you know what, I need to go to the disciples. I need to find the disciples because they, you know, they did life with Jesus. And so I feel like there are things that I can learn from them. And so Paul goes to the disciples, but it doesn't quite work out because, see, the disciples didn't hear about Paul's change. They were like, no, you're still Saul, and you're not out to, you know, to come alongside us. You're out to get us. You know, you want to throw us in jail. You're not tricking us. And we know it didn't work because in verse 27, in Acts chapter 9, it says, verse 26, it says, when he came to Jerusalem, he was trying to associate with the disciples, but they were all afraid of him, not believing that he was a disciple. But then in verse 27, it says, but Barnabas took hold of him and brought him to the apostles and described to them how he'd seen the Lord on the road and that he had talked to him and how at Damascus he had spoken out boldly in the name of Jesus. In verse 28, it says, and he was with them moving about freely in Jerusalem, speaking out boldly in the name of the Lord. You can see how critical connection is. You see, Paul had this great experience with Jesus, but if it wasn't for Barnabas to come alongside Paul and say, look, guys, I can vouch for him. This man has had an experience with Jesus. He's changed, and he needs to be connected to us. Had it not been for Barnabas, just think about the course that Paul's life would have taken. Paul being a man who wrote so many books in the New Testament, Paul being a man who, the reason that you and I have heard about the gospel, it was because of Paul and the things that he did. Had he not had that connection in Barnabas, his life would have looked way different. And so because of the connections in our lives, they not only determine the course, but if we don't have the right connections in our life, if we don't make those connections in our life, because don't get me wrong, an experience with Jesus is everything. Experiencing Jesus is everything, but unless you have connections, you won't change. Now, there's another example I want to look at in John chapter 21. And this is about a man named Peter. Peter who walked with Jesus. Peter was like one of Jesus' original connections. Imagine that, being one of Jesus' original connections. Being able to laugh with Jesus. And so this is Peter's life. And in John chapter 21, and we're going to look at verse 3 through 9. In Peter's life, he's walking with Jesus. He's doing life with Jesus. And Jesus, the time has come for Jesus to give his life. And so he's talking to the disciples, and he says, guys, I'm going to have to depart, and when they come and get me, you guys are all going to run. I'm just going to let you guys know that now. You guys are going to scatter. And so Peter's sitting at the table. He's looking at everybody else. He's like, not me, Lord. They may run, but not me. And Jesus looks at Peter, and he says, Peter, not only are you going to run, but you're going to deny me three times. And Peter's kind of taken back by that, and he says, no, Lord, it's not going to happen. And sure enough, it does happen. Peter denies Jesus three times, just as Jesus said. And so once Peter denies Jesus, he realizes he's made the biggest mistake of his life. He's betrayed his friend. He's missed it. And so at that point, Peter feels like there's no way to get back to what he had. And so what Peter does is he goes back to his first job, which was fishing. But the cool part about that was found in John 21, verses 3. It says, I'm going to check it out. It says, Simon Peter said to them, I'm going fishing. And they said to him, we will also come with you. They went out and got onto the boat, and that night they caught nothing. And when I'm reading scripture, I like to kind of put myself there, you know, and a lot of the times, like when there's a job or, you know, when there's something to be done and there's a lot of people involved and it doesn't get done, you know what's been happening? They just been talking. I mean, it's true. They just been talking. And so I just imagine the disciples having this conversation, disciples that were with Peter, and just talking about the times that they had and them being an encouragement to Peter. Then the morning came. Verse 4, it says, "But when the day was now breaking, Jesus stood on the beach. Yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. So Jesus said to them, 'Children, you do not have any fish, do you?' They answered him, 'No.' And he said to them, 'Cast the net on the right-hand side of the boat, and you will find a catch.' So they cast, and they were not able to haul it because of the great number of fish." We should get this in verse 7. It says, "Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, 'It is the Lord.' So when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put his outer garment on, and he threw himself into the sea." And so from that story, because not only did Peter have people that he was connected to, but from that story, you see that it's important to have people in your life that when you miss it, that when you feel like you're going to miss it, that when you feel weak, that when you feel like, hey, I can't go on, or I've just messed up too bad, we all need people in our life who will point us back to Jesus. People that we can lean into. People that we can be transparent with, that will point us to Jesus, that will say, "No, get up. Jesus is the answer. No, let's pray. No, let's talk. Come on. Get up. Get up. You got this. Finish the course. Finish the course. You got this." We need people who will point us to Jesus. And the beautiful thing is, that's the way God designed it. That's the way he designed us to do life. It was cool. I was listening to this message that was talking about how God desires us to have a personal experience with him. But he also desires for us to have a shared experience with one another, experiencing him. That's why we can come here together and experience him together. So with that, if that's the way God designed it, the only thing is, a lot of us don't have those types of connections. I was looking at this stat, and I'll read it to you in a second. But it said that, I'll ask you this first. If I asked you to take out a piece of paper and write down six of your closest friends, could you do it? Six of your closest friends. What about four? Now, when I thought about that, it took me a minute. I was like, wait a minute, okay. So some of you guys are doing now. It's like, well. And so I was looking at this stat, and what it said was 25 to 27 years ago, the average American had six close friends. Today, the average is two. It's amazing to think that in a world that's so advanced, that there's so many new inventions, there's so many devices and things that we can use to stay connected, that to make sure we don't miss out on anything. In a world where all that is possible, a lot of us don't have people that, if we're really honest with ourselves and we needed somebody to pray with us and we needed to be transparent, a lot of us don't have those people. Now, there's a term that I learned that most people deal with, and it's called relational poverty. And what that means is this, is that we can be surrounded by people, connected through social media, yet on the inside, you and I, we want more intimacy and more depth of community. We can have people all around us. We can have thousands of friends on Instagram, have so many people liking what we post and commenting, but we have no intimate connections. And there's some reasons for that. And the reason that we don't have that, but first, yeah, the reason that we don't have that is that, you know, we tend to distance ourselves. And the reason we have that desire for intimacy is because you and I were not made to do life alone. We are better together. I want to look at these scriptures really quick, just to in Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. "Then the Lord God said, 'It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make him a helper suitable for him.' And then I want to check out Matthew 18, verse 20. It says, 'For where two or three have gathered together in my name, I am there in their midst.'" I don't know about you, but I want Jesus to be there as much and as often as possible. And in order for that to happen, we got to be connected. Everybody say connect. So this week, I also learned this new term called modern convenience. You know, the reason we don't have connections is because, you know, we tend to distance ourselves whether we know it or not. And I didn't realize it till I was reading it, but I was like, man, that's true. Because this is an example, modern convenience, all these advances in technology. When somebody calls our phone, we have options. Right? We have options. We can look and we can see who's calling. And we have the option to answer or decline. You said it, you know it. Okay, decline. We have the option to see who's calling. We have the option to text him and say, hey, I can't talk right now. We got options. But there was a time, I was going to say back in the day, but I can't say that. There was a time where when somebody called, you didn't know who was calling, so you had to do what? You had to answer and then try to figure out a way to get done with the call. I'll give you another example. As kids, when you wanted to find something to do, when you wanted to be entertained, there's a time where you had to actually go outside and play, which was the greatest thing. I mean, whatever you could find, sticks, rocks, basketball, whatever you could find, whatever you had, your bike was all you needed, right? You go up, you could go anywhere on a bike. No gas. Come on now. It was great. You just had to stay within the sight of your house, or at least I did. So, like, you had all these things that you could go out and do. Your doorbell rang, and all the kids showed up, and so you went outside. Or if nobody was in the street, you went to your friend's house, rang the doorbell, and then everybody was outside. But now, when a child wants to be entertained, a majority of the time, you see them just in this, just zoned out. There's thousands of games. You don't play with sticks and rocks anymore. You play with digital sticks and rocks, and you build stuff on your phone. And there's no need to be social because they have their iPad and they have the technology. Now, I'm not saying any of that is bad, but it's just there's balance. So you gotta have balance. So with that, there's another thing that tends to cause us to distance ourselves, and that is social media. Now, I'm not saying social media is bad. Social media is a great tool. Social media allows us to be in contact with our family who are far away, to stay in touch with them. Social media, when we go on a trip, we can take pictures and post and then hold on to those memories and revisit those memories. Social media we can use to market our business. Social media we can use to spread the gospel. Social media we can use to encourage people. We can post an encouraging quote with a picture, and you know, we could post our devotional picture and everything, and we could do those things with social media, and it's great. But social media can also, on the flip side, create something called deferred loneliness. And what that is let's say I'm sitting in a restaurant or I'm sitting at home and I feel lonely. I take a picture and I post it. A few minutes go by, I get a notification. Wait a minute. Okay. 4 likes. You feel pretty good. 4 likes. It's like 4 minutes, 4 likes. A few more minutes go by. Another notification. 6 likes and a comment. Man, that looks good. Yeah, that does look good. 6 more minutes go by. You got 18 likes, 1 comment, and 3 reposts. You're living it up. And you feel good for the moment, but like if you were really honest with yourself, you would think about how little effort it took for somebody to take their phone and tap the screen twice. And instead of satisfying this loneliness, you've only deferred it for it to come back again. Now, where God has designed for us to be connected, where He desires for us to do life together, the enemy orchestrates division. That's his tool. A lot of the times he uses fear, but one of the greatest tools he uses is division. He tries to divide us. That's why he's always in our ear. He's always trying to throw thoughts in our head about, hey, did you see how they looked at you? Did you see how they didn't wave at you? Did you see how they looked? I bet they're talking about you. He tries to divide us because that's his tactic. That's the way that he does. And so when I think about that, it reminds me about something that happened last year. Last year, I had the opportunity to go to South Africa with Pastor Joel and Pastor Pepe to go see, visit this orphanage. And so it was an amazing trip and was an honor for the opportunity. But we were in South Africa. Africa. Everybody say Africa. Just need to know that you're with me. So we get to go to Africa. And where the orphanage is and where the place we're staying is, there's a wildlife reservation in between. So as we go back and forth, we're seeing like zebras, gazelles, the wildebeest. It's like the Lion King in real life. I mean, and there's no fence, there's no barrier. It's just road and wild. I mean, you open the door, there they are. And so I'm just amazed looking at this. And, you know, it was a great trip being able to minister to the kids that were there, had a great time. But then the last day, you know, we had to say goodbye to them. We're all excited. And so we pull on the side of the road at the wildlife reservation. Now, the reason it was okay for us to pull on the side of the road at the wildlife reservation was because they said there were no lions on this reservation. It was just zebra and gazelle, wildebeest, and things like that. So we felt pretty good about that, and so we stopped, and we opened the van doors, and we stood outside, and we just started taking pictures, and I mean, it was beautiful. And we looked out, and there was like zebra and gazelle and wildebeest. They were just a few yards away, just out there. You ever have a moment in your life where you're just excited, and you're caught up in the moment? And so, like, you're so caught up in the moment, you don't judge things correctly. This was my moment. And so I can't make this up, but I just want to preface it by saying that it started with somebody being like, hey, I bet you can't. And so the whole trip, one of the guys that was with us was like, he was messing with me because he's like, man, Tyler, you're fast. Or man, he's like, you're really athletic. And I was like, thank you. And so he's like, I bet you can catch one of them. And I was like, yeah. So I proceed to step into the wild and take off towards these animals. Now, I cannot make this up. And so to show you that I didn't make it up, I have video of this. So this is a video of me taking off. And I'm like, man, this is awesome. Man, this is great. Who else can say they ran after wild animals in the wild? I mean, I just felt at one with nature. And then I slowed down. Because I was like, man, they said there's no lions out here. They said they haven't seen any lions. And as I'm running, I kind of stop because I'm like, just because they haven't seen any lions does not mean that they're not out there. So after that moment, I turn around and I look and I'm like 300 yards from the van. And I take off much faster than I went out. And all I could think of is they're right there and they're in the grass and the lions are thinking, it's time to eat some American. That's it. So I make it back in safety because I'm here today, but it was like, man, and even though that's, you know, that's how lions are, but that's how, you know, it's a traumatizing experience. So I'm looking at 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. It says, be alert and sober and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. And trying to make a point here. So notice it doesn't say a group of people. It says someone. When an enemy hunts, when a lion hunts, it's not after the herd, it's after the one. And there's so many people who are living their life isolated, not connected, and the enemy specifically pinpoints those people and he's after them. So, and when it comes to a lion, a lion does, like I said, does not hunt the herd. It's there to isolate the one and take them out. The enemy hunts the same way. If he can get you alone, he can do whatever he wants. In the life of another man who was very close to Jesus, Judas. You see, when Peter was there and he denied Jesus, Judas, we know, betrayed Jesus. And so both men having these situations where they've missed it. Clearly, they've missed it. But when Peter missed it, there was a difference there. When Peter missed it, he had James and John and the other disciples to lean into and to pull him and point him back to Jesus. But the same did not happen for Judas. You see, when Judas missed it, he had no one to fall into. And you see his end, his life ends with the enemy just breaking it into pieces. His life ends in destruction. And with that being said, how many people do we know that have an experience with Jesus, or we've heard of, that have an experience with Jesus, And then a few weeks later, or after some time, they're back doing what they were doing before they met Jesus, or they're worse off. How many people do we know that they've had this experience with Jesus, but because they refuse to open up and to have these connections and to do life the way God designed it, their life never changes? Or it's good that you know they're saved and they reach salvation, but there's so much more. Salvation is just the start. And instead of living the Christian life and fulfilling the purpose that God has for them and being connected to those people, they simply just exist. There's so much more. We were created to connect. What would our lives, what would your life look like if you were intentional about the connections that you made? Your life would look a lot like the life of Peter, who had a group of people that he could lean into when he missed it or when he felt weak, when he stumbled, that could come alongside him and always continually point him to Jesus. Your life would look a lot like Paul's life, that when you're walking out the plan of God for your life, but stuff is just hitting you in the face, and it seems like every time you take one step forward, you're taking two steps back. You got somebody to come alongside you and say, no, this is going to happen. You were created for this. Let's do this. That's what our life would look like. If you and I were to be intentional about our connections, the people that we did life with, we would find a circle of strength and support tailor-made by God. If we were intentional about the connections that we made in our life, we could fight lions. Let a lion come out. We got a group. We got a circle of strength and support, tailor-made by God. Everybody say, we fight lions because we're connected. So if that's the way God designed it, how do we make that happen? How do we get intentional about making connections? And there's two ways that I want to share with you tonight. The first way is this, is we have to be present. We have to find opportunities where we can do life together with people, not thumb to thumb, but face to face. You see, it's easy to hide behind I'm doing good text, or it's going all right. But when you're face to face with people, there's power in present. You can't hide behind a text. People can see what you're going through. And not only can they see what you're going through, they can stand with you. That's why here at World of Life, we believe in life groups. We believe in giving you and helping you be intentional with a community of people who are there to stand with you. We believe in giving you James and John's and Barnabas's to be able to stand with you and help you walk through life as you discover and as you walk out what you feel God has called you to do. And the great thing about it is there's groups for every age and every variety that you can think of, because we know and we believe that God has designed that there be specific people that you connect to. Everybody say, be present. And the second thing is this, is we have to be open. See, the issue is not that we don't do church. The issue is not that we're not coming to church. It's not that we don't do church. It's that we don't do church together. It's easy to come through the doors and leave and come through the doors and leave and come through the doors and stop by the cafe and get some cake and then leave. But we got to do life together. We got to be open when it comes to the connection, to making those connections. When we find ourselves in a group, it's easy to be in a life group and kind of just do the life group. Or it's easy to go out with people and just kind of go through the motions. But there's life there. There's strength there. There's support there. So we can't be afraid to be transparent. We can't be so caught up in trying to make it look like everything is great, because there's strength and support there. You see, one of the things that one of my favorite quotes is that people are impressed by your strengths, but they connect with you in your weakness. And so me sharing my story, if I'm in a group, if I have a life group, or if I have a group of people that I'm connected to, and I share, you know, what God's doing, what I'm struggling with, and what I believe God can do in my life, it can be a source of strength for someone else. And so we have to be open. 1 Peter 5:9 says this. It says, resist him standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings. And the lie that the enemy would want us to believe is that what we struggle with, what we're going through, we're the only one going through it. when in reality, the person in the lane next to us and the row three rows behind us, don't turn around, but near us is going through something different. When in reality, they could be going through the exact same thing. That's why it's so important for us to connect. James 5:16 says this, "Therefore confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of the righteous person is powerful and effective." Going back to that story with Peter, you know, James and John, they had been with Peter. They knew Peter wasn't perfect, even though he tried to be, even though he told Jesus that he wasn't going to deny him. James and John had been there when Jesus told Peter, "Get thee behind me, Satan." I believe they brought it up when they were in the boat that night. You know, James and John were definitely there when, you know, the soldiers came to get Jesus and Peter took out his sword and, you know, cut one of the soldiers' ear off. They were like, "Hey, Peter, remember when you did that? And Jesus still, you know, he still wanted to roll with you. I think you should just go back to him." And they knew he wasn't perfect, but they still stood by him. They still stood with him. They still made sure that he would find his way back to Jesus. What would our lives look like if we lived them the way that God designed it? Together. If we did church, if we did life the way that God designed it. Together. We were created to connect. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you for this precious people. God, we thank you for the work that you're doing in this place. I thank you, Father, that even though I had the mic, you had the words. And Father, I thank you that for whatever was said, whatever you've shared, I thank you, Father, that there's grace to carry that out. And if you're here tonight and maybe you've never made a decision to follow Jesus, I know we've talked about connection, but the greatest connection is being connected to a Savior that loves you. And if you're here tonight and you've never made that decision to follow Jesus, with head still bowed and eyes still closed, I just want to ask you to slip your hand up in the air. All right, let's pray this together. Everyone say, "Dear Jesus, thank you for loving me. Thank you for giving your life for me. I choose you. Be my Lord. Thank you for saving me. Because of you and what you did, my past is washed away, and I am made new. My best days start right now." In Jesus' name, amen.